Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible said this in verse number 1 of Deuteronomy chapter number 31. Deuteronomy 31 verse number 1 says this, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord God shall do unto them as he did in Sion and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you." Look at verse 6. "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of the all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and there thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Now go with me to Joshua chapter number 1, just a couple pages over. Joshua chapter number 1. Look in verse number 1 of Joshua chapter number 1. The Bible says this, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Look in verse 7. The Bible said, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to thy right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." When we come to this passage of Scripture, Moses is dying off the scene, and Joseph is back there before Moses. But anyway, Joshua is now picking up, and we could say it this way, he's picking up the reins, he's taking over as the spiritual leader of the nation of Israel. And Moses tells him to be strong and of good courage, to keep his eyes focused on what he's told him to do. When we come to chapter 1 of Joshua, now Moses has died, and Joshua now has picked up the reins and is now leading the nation of Israel. And listen to what he says in verse number 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee." Listen to what he said. "Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." How to be effective in this new year. Father, help us this morning. And God, will be careful to give you the praise. God, I pray, Lord, that if there'd be anybody here lost, that you would save them today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, I want to talk to you about being effective in this new year for just a little while. I know that we're now into the third Sunday of the new year, but let's continue thinking about how we can be effective as we go in to this new year, into 2021. I said this last Sunday, and I'll say it again today. I'm praying that it will be the greatest year, not only of our church's life, but I'm praying that it will be the greatest year in the ministry that I have ever had. And man, I'm excited about the new year. I'm excited about what God's going to do in it. And you say, preacher, what about this and what about that? That's just some things that I've chose personally just to leave in the past and to let it be, and just focus on right now and what we can do in the coming days. God was good to us last year. We talked about that last Sunday, and all that God done for us last year. Man, I absolutely stand amazed financially what he done for us and what all God done for us last year. And I say this before, I'll say it again. If you want a copy of last year's financial report and the budget of where every dime went last year, we'll run you a copy of that and give that to you. And it is amazing what God has done for us. But here we stand approaching a new year, and how can we be effective in it? Joshua is told by Moses some things that he should do to be effective in the new year. Let me show you two or three things this morning. Number one, if we're going to be effective in the new year, we need to reassess our past. We need to reassess our past. Know what the Bible said in verse number 4 of Deuteronomy 31. The Bible said this, "And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he," what? "Destroyed." God takes Moses and leads Moses to tell Joshua and the nation of Israel to look back at what God had done for them in the past. Can I say this to you this morning? God has done some great things for us in our past. Let's reassess our past. A lot of times when we talk about the past, man, we want to talk about mistakes and failures and disappointments, but that's not what I'm dealing with this morning. I'm talking about looking back on the victories that God has given us in our past. Can I say this? When I reassess my past, the first thing that I see in it is the day that I got saved by the good grace of God. Amen. I'll never forget that night, July the 20th, 1994, when the high sheriff of heaven arrested my soul, but his son went on my bail and gave his life for me. As we reassess our past, boy, I think about the night that God saved my soul. When I reassess my past, I think about that night, July the 24th, 1996, when God called me to preach and counted me worthy of putting me in the ministry. Man, I have never regretted surrendering my life to preach the gospel. Amen. Me and Brother Jonathan Bass was talking this week, and he was talking to me about some different things, and God's working on his life about some things, and I'm loving every minute of it. I love seeing God do those things and those preachers' lives. And I told him this. I said, "Brother," I said, "there was a time that we left our home in East Bend that was paid for on 22 acres of beautiful land, and we bought this house down here, and we moved up here on $500 a week. That's what we came up here on. It was $500 a month when I first took the church. And then in January of 07, we bought that house, and the church gave us $500 a week. And I thought, Lord, is this really what you're wanting us to do? Is this really what we need to borrow all this money to buy? Is it really what you want? And God said, do it. And you know what we did by faith? We just trusted God, and we moved on. On that. And boy, now looking back, reassessing 13 years, it's been worth every mile of the trip. It's been worth every trial. It's been worth every valley. I stand today saying, as we reassess our past, God has been good to us. Here's what he says. He said, you remember those victories. That's what he's talking about. As the Lord did unto them, as he did to Sion and Og. And he goes on to say that he destroyed them. In other words, God gave them the victory over their enemy. If we're going to be effective in this new year, may we look back and realize that we have been through some dark days. We have been through some valleys. We have been through some storms, but now we stand on the other side of that, and God has not failed us. God has not let us down. If God brought us through then, honey, God can bring us through now, and until he comes back to get us, he's going to take care of us. Now reassess those things of the past. Oh, we could talk about failure. We've all had that. We could talk about defeat. We've all had that. But I just choose this morning not to worry about all of that, because there's nothing I can do about all of that, and focus on all the positive in the past that God has done. I was listening to a guy preach this week. His name's Brother Lillian Frazier. Matter of fact, Brother Frazier, his church owns the print press that does all of our printing. And Brother Frazier was preaching. Some of y'all may have listened to it on Brother Gravely's podcast. But he was preaching to young people about how to not suffer wreck. It's what he was talking about. And here's what he said. He was, I loved it. It was an awesome message. But here's what he said. He said, don't always look in the rearview mirror or you'll wreck. He said, youngins, he's preaching in Brother Gravely's school. He said, youngins, when you drive your car, you can't always look in the rearview mirror because you'll be in the ditch. And I thought, boy, how true that is. And here's what he said. He said, we've got this great big windshield in front of us to see where we're going. And we've only got this little bitty mirror to see where we've been. The point is this, it's more important where you're going than where you've been. So don't always look in the rearview mirror. Yes, we may reassess that and see it, but we can't live there. We can't stay there. We cannot continue to live there. It's the past. Leave it there. Number one, I'm going to move quickly for sake of time. We should reassess our past. But number two, can I say this to you this morning? If we are going to be effective in this new year, we're going to have to recapture. We're going to have to recapture. Are you with me this morning? We have to recapture our passion. Recapture our passion. Why do we do what we do? Our passion. I thought about this. Look what the Bible said in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What did he say? Verse 7 of chapter 1 of Joshua. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. We're going to have to recapture our passion. Passion is what drives us to do what we do. And I just say it that way. It's what drives us to do what we do. A passion for it. You want me to tell you the reason that my wife gets up way before daylight every morning and studies her Bible? Because she has a passion for it. You hear me tell you the reason Brother Tim, when he went by Brother Brent's the other afternoon, after he had back surgery, got a golf club out and seen if he could swing it any better? Brother Jerry said he thought he'd get 15 more yards now because he had his back operated on. He had a passion for it. Let me tell you the reason that Brother Jerry in 25 degree weather will put a cover over a golf cart and a heater in it and go play golf. He has a passion for that. He has a passion for it. You want me to tell you the reason that back years ago, especially not as much now, but back years ago, man, I would leave, and Brother Max has been on a few of these trips. We'd leave on Sunday night after church and drive all night long to get somewhere and then hunt all day long on Monday and sleep 2 or 3 hours a night through that week and hunt like crazy. We had a passion for that. Let me tell you the reason some's not as faithful to church as they once was. Because they don't have a passion for it like they used to. We should recapture our passion. You remember when you first got saved? You remember how you had that burning desire, man? You wanted to do something for God. You'd witness to a telephone booth. Some of y'all don't even know what a telephone booth is. But you that does knows what I'm talking about. Matter of fact, old Jerry Moose used to sing a song, "The Devil in the Telephone Booth." You remember that? That was so fun. But anyway, you'd witness to anybody. You'd put a track anywhere. You couldn't wait to get to church. Whenever the preacher said, "Has everybody done what they were supposed to do?" you was the first one to jump up and say, "No, preacher, God's been good to me. I just got to brag on Him and thank Him for it." What has happened to us? We've lost our passion. And you know what he says to Joshua before he takes? Be strong and of good courage. He said, don't waver to the right. Don't waver to the left. What Moses has told you, just stay with it. And I say something to you today. We should recapture our passion. I want to say this to you. Everybody in the church has a ministry. A lot of times we think, well, it's just the Sunday school teacher that has a ministry, or it's just this person that has a ministry, or that person that has a ministry. Everybody has a ministry. Everybody. Everybody can pray. Somebody say amen. Everybody can put a door hanger on a door. Hey, everybody has a ministry. Find your place and don't allow the devil to distract your mind. Don't allow the devil to come in. Can I say something to you? I'm very careful when it comes to distractions, praying out loud or talking out loud about it. You say, well, why are you like that? Because the devil don't know nothing. Devil don't know everything. Are you hearing me this morning? The devil don't know every distraction that I have. The devil don't know every temptation that I may have. And if we're not careful, we'll talk about that out loud. And you know what the old devil will do? He'll hear that. And then he'll multiply that. And the devil will cause you to absolutely miss the perfect will of God for your life. Recapture your passion. You remember the first time you preached? How scared to death you was and nervous you was, but at the same time, son, you was going to turn the pulpit over. Are you with me? That passion that drove us to that. That first message, man, you studied and studied and studied and studied. I remember I studied for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks on Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he not defile himself a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Had 3 points. Daniel's dedication, Daniel's inspiration, and something else. I done forgot it. That's been a long time ago, okay? And I studied for 2 weeks on that, Brother Matthew. I was going to preach an hour. About 4 minutes. And I was done. I know y'all don't believe that, but I'm being honest. About 4 minutes and I was done in a storefront building on Main Street in Rhonda, North Carolina. Nanny Sue's old store. Uncle Jerry went down there and started the church, and that's where I preached my first message at. But boy, I couldn't wait. I was excited. Son, I had my notes wrote out. I had them in my Bible. I walked in that night, son, I thought I was Billy Graham when I walked through the door. God had called me and I had a passion for what God had called me to do. And boys, we go into this new year, church, let's don't forget our passion. God give me that to do. You know what? When I think about our church, Amazing Grace is not a job to me. I understand that it pays my bills, and I'm very thankful for that. But it's not a job to me. It's what God called me to do. It's what God called me to do. As I stand here today, I get to do what God called me to do. As we look into this new year, let's recapture that passion. I know, Sunday school teachers, it's been a long time since you taught, and that breaks my heart. Boy, I'm praying diligently, God, please give us the green light. God, please let us know when we can go on that. God, please give us a green light on it. And you know what? I believe the day's coming quickly, but between now and then, hey, ask God to help you recapture your passion for what you do. I'll take it a step further. You remember the first day you went to that new job, you was excited about it? Remember the first day, I don't know why, Dakota's just sitting here this morning saying, pick on me, but you remember the first time that you went to your job to sell the first car? And the way you were so excited about it, you was going to be the top salesman of the month that month. I mean, he said, I've never been, but when you went, you had that desire, didn't you? First, somebody pulled on the lot, somebody else better get to them quick, because old Dakota was going to waddle his way out there, wasn't he? I was going to say run, but I knew that wasn't going to happen. You had a passion for it. You remember your first time in a class teaching? You had a passion for it. I told Madeline this. Madeline is a certified temperature taker. That's what she does at work. That's what she does at the hospital. She's a screener. Brother Tim, the 97 and a half questions that you get asked and the temperature being taken, that's what Madeline does. Here's what I told her. I said, whenever you start working, you be the best temperature taker that there is. They shouldn't be nobody else that can take the temperature, ask them questions any better than you. Are you hearing a preacher this morning? I said, you be the best you can be. Friday we'll leave and go to Asheville of all places for her to take her test for her CNA. You know what I told her? I said, when you get that and you move from scanning temperatures to being a CNA on the floor, you be the best CNA that there is on the floor. If you're going to sweep the floor, sweep it better than anybody else. If you're going to clean the commode, clean it better than any. Have a passion for what you do. And when it comes to our service to God, church, may we recapture our passion. May it burn in our souls to do what God has put us here to do. Don't let the devil take your passion away from you. Don't let the devil rob your joy from you. Don't let the devil strip you of what God has for you. Recapture that. He said, don't look to the left, don't look to the right. You just do what you're supposed to do. You just do. I was watching the other day, Olivia. I'll give you this last point in just a minute and we'll go home. My mother-in-law made chicken pie the other day, and I'm pretty excited about eating. One of the very few things, Brother Will, I'll eat is a leftover, but I will her chicken pie. I will my wife's too. That didn't sound right, did it? I will my wife's too, okay? Biggest part of the time. But anyway, Olivia, of course, she hunted last year for the first time. And then this week, she wanted to shoot more. She's wanting to learn more about shooting and which with the rifle she's got with a scoped rifle, man, she's a dead eye anymore. So yesterday, we got an old .22 revolver out, and I was teaching her, Brother Rodney, that sight alignment, and I told her about it, and she shot there a couple times, and she said, "Why am I not hitting it?" And I said, "I don't know." I said, "The gun might be off that bad." I said, "Let me see it." So, Brother Dakota, I got it, and I pulled the hammer back, and I took a line on it, Brother Jerry, and I squeezed the trigger. And I said, "Well, it's hitting a little bit high, but that's all right. You should still be able to hit it." And she said, "Well, what did you do?" And I told her again. She said, "Oh, that's got to go there." And I said, "Yeah." And she pulled the hammer back, and she squeezed the trigger off that time, and she's closer to the bullseye than I was when I shot. And she talked about shooting sporting clays or shooting skeet. So she wanted to shoot a shotgun. So I got a little 28 gauge out yesterday, and I let her shoot that 28 gauge for the first time, Brother Jerry, and I said, "We're not going to shoot at no skeet." I just said, "You put that bead on that blue dot out there at that target and just shoot it." And we was watching them the other day as they was shooting sporting clays. And there was one thing as we was watching that I noticed, Brother Will, a lot of those shooters had blinders on. They had blinders on. Now, to me, I wouldn't have liked it because it took my peripheral vision away. That's just me. But a lot of those professional shooters, and especially like shooting a three gun, they had, Brother Mackey had blinders on. And I was watching those, and I got to thinking about that. You know what we need to do in recapturing our passion? He said, don't look to the left or look to the right. We need to let God put some blinders on us and do what God's given us to do. And don't let the devil rob us of that. Don't let the world rob. Hey, recapture that passion. Reassess that past. But then let me show you one more thing. And I'll give you this in closing. If we're going to be effective, let's look back and see what God's done for us. Let's recapture that burning desire that we once had in our heart for the house of God and the things of God. But can I say this to you in closing? We need to review our performance. We need to review our performance. So, preacher, what do you mean on that? What are we doing for God? It got real quiet right then, didn't it? What are we doing for Him? Review our performance. Note something. Come start playing softly. Note this. I guess I could have said please. Sounded pretty authoritative, didn't it? Get up here. Watch this, verse number 1 of Joshua. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spake unto Joshua. All the times before, God has spoke to Moses. But now God speaks to Joshua. Let me tell you the reason God spoke to Joshua right there is because Joshua had the right performance. He had done what God had told him to do for all those years. He had just been faithful. He was the minister of Moses. Here's what that was. He was simply Moses' assistant pastor. He was the assistant pastor of the First Baptist Church of Israel, running close to 3 million. Study me out. That's about how many was there. And you know what he'd done? Here's what he'd done. Moses, what do you need? Moses, what do you need? Well, I need you to do this, Joshua. Okay. Moses, what do you need? I need you to do this, Joshua. I'll take care of it. Hey, Moses, I'm done with that. What do you need? I need you to do it. All right. You got it. You don't see Joshua in the middle of everything? You don't see Joshua trying to overtake anything? Joshua's on the back scene making sure everything's running right, making sure everything's taken care of. Joshua's that one in the back light in the nation of Israel. But when God needed somebody to lead His people, because Moses was dead, you know what he done? He reached back out to that person that had just been faithful and pulled him to the front and said, now lead. It's your time now. All of us, at some point in our life, likes to be in the lead a little bit. Likes to be in the lead a little bit. And I'll tell you something, in the service of God, if we'll just be faithful, when God's ready to put us on the forefront, God will put us on the forefront. Some people never go to the forefront, but they're the reason the forefront happens. So, preacher, what do you mean by that? You ain't never heard Leslie preach a message on Sunday morning, have you? Do you want me to tell you the reason I'm able to? It's because I got a godly wife that stands behind me. I'm talking about reviewing our performance. Review it. Look at what we're doing. Look at what. Has there ever been a time that we've done more for the Lord than we're doing right now? Is there ever been a time that we were serving God more than we're serving Him right now? And if there was, then you know what? We've got a problem. We've got a problem. Something's wrong. You say, preacher, I'm just older. How old was Caleb when he said, give me the mountain? He's up there about 80, wasn't he? But he still said, I want the mountain. He could have had anything he wanted, but he said, I want the mountain. He was still in his older age. He was courageous. He wholeheartedly followed God. He'd done what God wanted him to do. In Joshua's life, let me tell you the reason he ended up where he ended up at. Because of his performance. It was right. I was talking to a guy this week about a vehicle. And I know y'all don't know this, but I like to trade around on stuff every once in a while. And sometimes I trade on stuff or I flip stuff and nobody ever even knows that I've had it and flip it and go on down the road. And that's the way I buy a fishing rod every now and again and things like that. Somebody say amen right there. And I was talking to a guy about a vehicle this week. And here's what he said. He says, it got any codes? I said, no. I said, ain't no check engine lights, nothing. He says, anything laying in the belly of it? And I said, no, nothing laying in the belly of it. It's already been put on computer. Everything's good. All right, then. All right, that's the main thing. Catalytic converter's $1,500. I said, no, everything's good on it. He said, okay. Okay. You know what that does, that computer, when you plug it in? That 64 El Camino I had as my first vehicle, it didn't have no computer on it. It had a built 350 with a Holley 750 double pumper. Somebody say amen and a set of headers. That's right. That's right. Paraglide transmission. Paraglide, two-speed. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? That baby'd run 80 and low, and whenever it hit drive, when it went into drive. Bark of tires going into drive. Somebody say amen up in the house of God this morning. I had a 1987 Nissan truck. Had a big old fat Japanese man painted on the back glass. I got the picture. I can show it to you. And it said the heartbeat of Japan. It barked third gear. It's 5-speed. I'd spin through first and I'd hit second. And then to get it to bark third gear, you know what you had to do? You had to turn it up like that. You turn it up like that and it barked third. What am I preaching about? But that first vehicle I had, you couldn't put a computer on it. There wasn't much that could go wrong with it. But if something goes wrong with our vehicle, the performance isn't right, we put a computer on it and it tells us what's wrong now. It tells us what's wrong. You know what we need to do this morning? We need to put a computer on our life and see if our life throws any codes. I'm talking about our performance. Let's review our performance. Where are we at? Where are we at today? Are we doing more for God? Are we doing less for God? Or are we reading our Bible more? Are we reading our Bible less? You gonna be effective this year? Review your performance. How you performing? You one of the jets stopped up in your carburetor? They don't, half of people don't even know what that is, do they? Is one of the jets stopped up in our carburetor, Brother Randy, or is one of our spark plugs went bad? I remember we used to pull the wire off. That didn't change nothing. That didn't change nothing. That didn't change nothing. If you went through two or three and nothing changed, you had some big problems. Is one of our spark plugs bad? You know what a spark plug is, Olivia? She don't have a clue. Brother Will, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Review our performance. Where are we at in the service of God today? Preacher, it's a different day. It's a great day to serve God. Preacher, it's dark. Light always shines brighter the darker it gets. Preacher, cup's half empty. No, it's half full. It's all on your perspective, on how you look at it. You want to be effective this year? I do. Let's reassess our past. God's been good. Let's recapture that passion, that drive, that love that we once had for the ministry and the things of God. Let's review our performance.